What about, Erica, the choice of therapy? And we're going to kind of get into something that I don't think there's that much out there, which is, you know, the issue of when metastatic disease occurs, whether it occurs up front without any prior therapy as opposed to, say, on endocrine therapy, et cetera. But how do you think through management of a patient who presents with metastatic ER-positive or HER2-negative disease?
Well, I mean, I think a big factor is, you know, is it de novo? Or if not, what endocrine therapy are they on? Or what have they been on? And what's that interval to progression? I think that tells you a lot about their biology and also gives you a hint of what you would expect for them to respond to.
Kamal, another issue comes into, you know, kind of what to expect from therapy. When you see a patient like this one who's presenting with metastatic disease and they ask you, you know, kind of what do I have? We actually ask people kind of what they would say to patients, what the chance is that I'm going to be alive in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years. What kinds of numbers do you have in your own mind and how does it vary based on, you know, how they present?
Right. So I think the prognosis certainly we have seen that differs a little bit when patients are presenting with de novo metastatic disease versus patients who've had a diagnosis of breast cancer, had treatment, and then recurred. So we've seen some differences in prognosis there, regardless of their visceral metastases or not. We've also seen perhaps a slightly better prognosis for, say, de novo metastatic bone metastases-only patients versus patients who present with visceral metastases at their time of presentation. So that is something that I probably think about when I'm thinking about an individual prognosis for a patient.
Ruth, there have been attempts to improve endocrine therapy in the first-line setting, bringing in fulvestrin, combinations, et cetera. How do you manage a patient who presents with metastatic disease in terms of choice of endocrine therapy and whether or not use a CDK inhibitor and which one?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it depends on what we've been talking about before, is if they relapse on adjuvant therapy or not, that would influence your decision for sure. But I will generally use a CDK inhibitor. I do think there are a group of patients where we maybe don't need to give a CDK inhibitor in the first-line setting. We don't have survival data from the first-line study, so that's going to be important. But given the marked improvement in progression-free survival, I will generally recommend a CDK inhibitor. If they haven't had a prior adjuvant treatment, I would start with an aromatase inhibitor. If they've had a prior aromatase inhibitor, I'd give them fulvestrant most likely.